Jenny Mack with your daily comedy news. A little different. I usually start with late night, and I will start with late night, but not jokes. Conan O'Brien is ending his run in late night. He announced on his show that he's hanging up his tiny desk. Conan, the show, not the man. Conan will end on June 24th. He marks 30 years as a late night talk show host. Boy, 30 years goes quickly. He's the new guy on late night, isn't he? He did 11 years at TBS. Plus, you know, the 5 minutes on The Tonight Show. We got to talk about that as an episode one time here on Daily Comedy News. And he, of course, hosted Late Night with Conan O'Brien, 30 years as a late night talk show host. That seems to be the magic number. Johnny hung it up after 30 and Letterman followed his lead. Conan is not going away. He's got another show. It's a streaming deal. He'll be on HBO Max. It's said to be a stylistic departure from the talk show format and more variety based. That's good. That plays to his strengths. He'll continue podcasting, and he'll occasionally be on TV with Conan Without Borders. According to TBS, the final weeks of the show will include a lineup of special guests, as well as an extended hour-long finale with a look back on the past 11 years of the TBS years of Conan. And Conan promises a shockingly small amount of Donald Trump jokes. On his monologue, Conan said, "Some of you are wondering why I'm doing this. Why end things here at TBS? And I'll tell you, because a very old Buddhist monk once told me that to pick something up, you must first put something down." It's very profound. That's not really a joke. Conan said, "I'm very proud of what we've accomplished here. And so what I'd like is these last couple of weeks to be a fond look back at all the absurd madness that my team and I have concocted. Best of all, I just want to point out there will be shockingly few, if any, references to Donald Trump, because that's always been my favorite kind of comedy. You and I both enjoy the jokes at the top of the show. So I went through Conan's Twitter timeline and found some." These are all from Conan O'Brien. "I'd like to reassure my fellow celebrities that you don't have to run for governor. I can't wait for everything and its bathroom to reopen. Amen there. I can't wait until they build robots that can write our tweets. Robots would be so good at that and everything else. When will robots get the appreciation they deserve? Bleep bloop. New meal service I don't recommend. Soup cannon. The industry hit hardest by COVID. Novelty hand buzzers. The King Kong vs. Godzilla movie is much more exciting than the prequel where they just went to counseling. If anyone is planning to kidnap me, I'd like to request that you make it interesting enough for a 6-episode podcast. And just think, we're all just a few billion dollars away from hosting Saturday Night Live. Farewell, Conan. Looking forward to the HBO show, though. Speaking of Saturday Night Live, Elon Musk is your host this weekend, and they have announced the host for the remainder of the year. The week after Elon, it'll be Mac Packer Keegan-Michael Key. You know, I'll be watching that live. Actually, I won't. There's no way I can stay up to 1 a.m. I'm so old. But I will tape you, Mac Packer, Keegan-Michael Key. And then actress Anya Taylor-Joy will host the season finale of Saturday Night Live. Boy, the season went quickly. I feel like they just got back from winter break. I can't believe there are only 3 left. Night Court is back, baby. I don't know why. I think we're bringing back everything. But NBC has ordered new Night Court. It's not called New Night Court. It's Night Court. It's based on the original series, in case you didn't figure that out, and it revolves around Abby Stone, the daughter of the late Harry Stone. Harry Stone was played by the late Harry Anderson, so he will not be reprising his role too soon. Abby Stone is following in her father's footsteps as she presides over a Manhattan arrangement court, and its oddballs and cynics, including former Night Court prosecutor Dan Fielding, John Larroquette reprises his Emmy-winning role. Why are we bringing this back? Night Court ran on NBC from 1984 to 1992. So basically, Conan O'Brien had his entire late night run while this was off, and we're bringing it back. Who is this for? Amazon Studios has announced Sprung, a comedy. Sprung follows Jack, who's a convicted criminal who is determined to change course and reclaim his lost years after serving more than 2 decades in prison. Oh my. With no place to live post-release and a global pandemic bringing the world to a virtual standstill, Jack moves in with his former cellmate Rooster, Rooster's mom Barb, and Jack's former prison girlfriend Gloria. Bound by their marred past and unusual living circumstances, they decide to start righting some of society's wrongs, targeting those people selfishly taking advantage of others during the pandemic. Oh, so they're like nice criminals now. I want to get rid of the mom and the girlfriend and just have this be the prison odd couple. No? Ricky Gervais has announced a new podcast, but you will have to pay for it. It is called Absolutely Mental. It'll be out on May 10th. Absolutely Mental will feature 11 episodes, all available at launch, that will cost $14.99. The episodes will be available from absolutelymental.com. They'll be between 30 and 40 minutes long. Listeners will be able to air them on their podcast players. On this podcast, Ricky has teamed up with American neuroscientist Sam Harris, who has a pretty popular podcast. And Ricky had been popping up on episodes of Sam pretty frequently. So now we know what that was all about. Comedy.co.uk says the pair have recorded approximately 12 episodes on the subjects of free will, dreams, morality, mortality, human evolution, religion, the meaning of life, comedy, free speech, altruism and kindness, what makes us, where we're from, where we're going, the future, philanthropy and artificial intelligence. Are you bored yet? Like, I love Ricky, but are you bored yet? Ricky said, it's mainly about the brain and the mind. It's great. Sam Harris just knows everything. We both got philosophy degrees. We both got a background in science. He obviously went further than me. He's a neuroscientist. The show will see Gervais phone his favorite smart friend, Harris. Now, when Ricky was on Harris's podcast, he phoned in. You're not going to really ask us to pay $15 for Ricky Gervais's on the phone. Like, get a USB mic. I'm using one. Figure it out. Ricky will phone Harris to ask some very important questions and some not so important ones. Throughout the series, Gervais and Harris contemplate the wonders of science and the chaos of modern life while having many good laughs. More topics: dreams, free will, death, the robot apocalypse, bears, the perils of celebrity, and the future of comedy. Ricky Gervais told Deadline, these aren't academic lectures. They are casual chats about how it feels to be human, evolution, the mind-body problem, spirituality, mortality, blah, 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 and free speech. And by free, I mean $14.99. HBO announced they're giving Tig Notaro a stand-up comedy special. That's interesting enough. We like Tig Notaro, and it's HBO, and it's comedy. Makes sense I'm talking about it. But in a somewhat odd twist, say the AV Club, the whole thing's going to be fully animated. What? HBO says this is going to be the first ever animated stand-up special. AV Club mentions, we'd like to see the math on that, because surely someone out there has animated an entire stand-up special before. But that aside, the special is produced by Ellen DeGeneres, who said in a statement that she thought Notaro should put Dory in it since it's going to be animated, which is not that funny. Good job, AV Club, killing that. Notaro, in her own statement, said, drawn to the idea of creating a fully animated hour after seeing other animated versions of her stand-up work, and added it was a joyful experience to turn a solitary art form like stand-up into a collaborative effort with input from all the people. Blah, blah, blah. This will be on HBO Max this summer. From Up Rocks, Bill Maher has upset the cryptocurrency crowd. Maher had singled out Dogecoin. As you guys know, I have been trying to become a Dogecoin millionaire, and I suck at it. I told you I sold all my Dogecoin. Now, on Tuesday, Dogecoin hit 60 cents. I got out at like 37. Now, before you make too much fun of me in the schoolyard, I'll remind you, I turned $250 into $610, but I probably could have turned it into, I don't know, I'd have to do the math on that, like $800? It's not going to buy a replacement for my Honda Civic, but that's some nice cash. I'm recording live here, and it's at 53 cents. Maher singled out Dogecoin, the cryptocurrency that began as a laugh. That's why I sold it. It's a joke. There's nothing behind it, except people are trading it. That began as a laugh to only become real, as emblematic as the fad's whole problem, Maher said. Far as I can tell, it's exactly the same as the other cryptocurrencies because the whole thing is a joke. He referred to it as Easter Bunny cartoon cash and compared it to Tinkerbell from Peter Pan. Its power is based solely on enough children believing in it. But his biggest beef was how bad cryptocurrency is for the environment. He pointed out that every transaction sucks up tons of power, using more energy than Netflix, Apple, Facebook, and Google combined. Is that true? Each exchange, he says, uses more electricity than a million Visa transactions and has the same carbon footprint as watching 85,000 hours of YouTube. George Carlin's ghost is on Twitter, and George Carlin's ghost tweeted, Bitcoin and Bill Maher's career have a lot in common. Neither of them has any intrinsic value. Did you vote yet? Need your votes. Go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Scroll down. There's a picture of Stephen Colbert and Trevor Noah. I need you guys to vote and write hilarious comments. Tell me, who is king of late night? Is it Stephen Colbert or is it Trevor Noah? And I suspect, given the news cycle, that one of them will face Conan O'Brien next week. So you might want to think ahead and plan ahead. Maybe you're like, oh, well, I want Conan to win, so I'll put the lesser candidate through. So next week, Johnny could put a stooge up against Conan because I really want Conan to win 2 weeks from now. That would be some advanced Daily Comedy News strategery by you. From Atlantic City Weekly, they caught up with Giannis Pappas, and they were like, who are your influences? And Giannis said, somebody that really stuck out to me was George Carlin. Love it. Good answer. I remember when I saw his special, You Were All Diseased, in 99. I think it was his best special. He filmed it right after his wife died, and I think he needed comedy more than ever. It's just an amazing special from front to back, with him pacing the stage like a panther and just crushing it. And of course, growing up, Eddie Murphy was the big one, because he brought stand-up to the movie theaters, and I wasn't even aware of what stand-up was before that. Eddie Murphy has more talent at his pinky than almost any comedian who has ever done comedy. Then this interview took a surprising turn. Next question by Atlantic City Weekly was, you were shot early on in your career. Tell us about this. Yes, please do. Yana said, yeah. It was an attempted robbery and I got shot and it changed the trajectory of my career. I stopped doing comedy for a while and I dealt with a lot of panic attacks and anxiety, so I didn't really do comedy full time until 2008. I haven't had the normal career path that most comedians have had, where once they start doing it, they become obsessed. My story's a little more jagged than that. It changed me as a person. I had a whole different approach to life after that. You start to become more cognizant of time and health and how much more important it is than this career. Before that, I was off to an auspicious beginning. I started doing colleges and I was funny and wild, but then getting shot threw a wrench in that and forced me to think about life as a whole. It changed everything about me forever. It forced me to grow up real quick. ACW said, what's your writing process like? Yana said, I focus on writing more structured bits for my podcast a lot. So when I come to do a live show, it's a party. I just have fun. I have premises. I have some jokes that have worked out, but it's a real mix of crowd work, interaction, and jokes. Every show is different. One of my strengths is just riffing and having a good time, being funny on the fly. It's kind of a new approach post-COVID, and I'm really having fun doing stand-up comedy again. And that is your comedy news for today. If you like what I do, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.